Whoa! Hold on. Who have we found here from Shaw and Partners? Andrew Kelleher, welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back, Mike.
Good on you. Do you enjoy Sri Lanka?
I did. It was very surprising, very hot, but the tourism is taking a bit of a hit. I noticed you and Ryan were arguing about lounges.
Yeah.
I was at a resort, 72-room resort on the coast. There were only 17 rooms full the first night we were there, so finding a lounger was not problematic.
What are you paying for at a resort, round figures?
Round figures, well, it depends on how flash it was, well, but yeah, I mean, we were paying sort of, I think it was around $250-$300 New Zealand dollars a night, so it wasn't expensive.
It's not bad.
It's cheap. And rugby is surprisingly popular.
Is it any good? Are they any good at it?
Well, our under 85 kilo team beat them twice, so they're getting better.
Okay,
but it's well supported.
Good stuff. Glad you had a good time. Right, labour market, jobs. 5.3 is not 5.4.
No, it's not. So, firstly, Mike, just talking about these labour data numbers out yesterday, I think there is in these numbers a higher degree than normal of sort of rear vision analysis, given the fact that, you know, it captures the period prior to the Middle East conflict. So, you know, things have changed, haven't they? The relevance really, I think, is that it establishes the sort of starting point and momentum that the labour market had before the global events sort of intervened in the economic milieu. Look, it does look like the employment market was improving, but albeit at a what you would say is a pretty sort of tepid pace, because yes, unemployment fell to 5.3%. 163,000 people are unemployed, if you want the actual number. The market was expecting 5.4%, so a bit better than expected. The underutilization rate, which is a measure of, you know, the people who are either unemployed or underutilized or underemployed or seeking jobs, 12.9%. That stayed pretty static, but there's 406,000 people in that group at the moment. Participation rate fell slightly to 70.4%. Employment grew 0.2%. We were expecting that to come in at 0.3%, and it was at 0.5% move in the fourth quarter of last year. Average hourly earnings, so what you're getting paid, grew by 0.2%. Look, the RBNZ, they forecast that unemployment rate at 5.3%, so it's bang on what they thought they would get, but the employment growth was weaker than they had expected. Wage growth, that's important, Mike, because one of the factors that the central bank said they would look at closely when considering if they need to lift the OCR more quickly than expected. That year-on-year number's running at 2%, so hardly a concern, I would have thought. Obviously, Mike, the issue is how much has the Middle East conflict impacted on our economy? We're sort of 2 months into that. Hopefully, it will be resolved sort of shortly, because we're stomping through the third month now. The labour market, very important, that question. The answer to that is we don't actually know yet. But as I normally point out, Mike, I think we always highlight this, it's a tough time to be young and looking for work. 15 to 19-year unemployment rate, 24.9%. That was just a staggering number. 20 to 24, 12.2%. So I don't think there's any real call to action for the RBNZ from this number. The market's pricing a 40% chance of a move in May, so the 27th of May. I think that will probably start to come down, but the chance of a July hike is still pretty high. No real change in market reaction yesterday.
Okay, what about the RB in their view? That was pretty solid, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, look, it's a good read, actually. So this is the RBNZ release. They don't just do monetary policy. They're also responsible for financial stability. They released the financial stability report yesterday. It's the first one under their new financial policy committee. Look, if you're interested in this sort of thing, it's quite a good read. The key points, the global risk environment has worsened over the last 6 months. They noted that things like lending had been recovering prior to the conflict. They say the economy will slow because of higher energy prices. And the Middle East conflict, the associated world energy supply risks, they add to what were the existing risks of sort of AI, the rise of non-banks, private credit market. But they do highlight the fact, and we should take great comfort in this, that our banks have strong capital buffers. Yep. Even though they made some changes around the amount of sort of proposed capital, the results from their stress test suggest our banks remain capable of managing even severe scenarios, so we'll be okay. I couldn't help but notice they did say that volatility in financial markets are raising the risk of a sharp fall in equity prices.
Yes.
And while I was stomping around Sri Lanka, US equity markets are all busy making all-time highs.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's not going to last forever. What are the numbers?
Well, very strong overnight, as we've been talking about potential for an end to the conflict. It will end, though, Mike, not when these people say it will end. It will end when, as far as I'm concerned, when oil is moving in and out of the Strait of Hormuz. That's not happening yet. The Dow Jones up 625 points, 1.27%, 49,922, getting ever closer back to that 50,000 mark. S&P 500, 7345, it's up 1.2%. And the NASDAQ, 25,771, up 1.75%. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained over 2%, 219 points, 10,438. The Nikkei up 0.38%, 59,513. Shanghai Composite gained more than 1%, 4160. The Aussies had a great day yesterday, up 1.3%, 8793. And we had a big day on the NZX 50, up 109 points, 0.84%. Infratil, very strong yesterday because they had a good news out of CDC data centers, had a big win. They own half that company. Kiwi dollar, 0.5952 against the US, 0.8233 Aussie, 0.5067 euro, 0.4388 pounds, 93.16 Japanese yen, gold, $4,684, and Brent crude, back over 100 bucks, but still well down on the session, $101.50.
You're a good man. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.